Sefer Melachim, the book of Kings, Kings 1, chapter 3, sentence 16. Gimel, Pasuk Tezayin.
As Tabono.
As Tabono. The simple explanation is, we, after last week we learned that Shlomo Melech had a dream, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him in a dream, asked him what does he want. He said he wants to have some wisdom in his heart to be able to judge the nation. Since the nation have constantly arguments and disagreements, if you want to take a look at sentence 12, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Hineh, Asiti Kidvarecha, I did what you asked, Hineh, Dati Lecha Lev Chacham Menavod, I'm going to give you a special heart, Asher Kamocha Lo Haya Lefanecha, Ve'Acherecha Lo Yakum Kamocha. Simple explanation is that Shlomo was granted with such a wisdom, that Hashem is telling him, nobody will be before you, nobody will be after you. And the question is, why? Nothing is wrong. I mean, Shlomo said he wants to have a special wisdom. Hashem would have told him, listen, I agree, I gave you a special wisdom in your heart that will refine and perfectly nice answer to Shlomo HaMelech. You don't have to grant him and tell him, I'm going to give you something so big that nobody before you and nobody after you will have it. Why? Why not? Somebody before him, maybe yes. Somebody after him, why not? As long as he is smart. That boy is 12 years old. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to be smart. The answer is, fine, I love you, I agree with you, I respect you, you wanted this, I'm going to give you a very large amount of wisdom. But you don't have to tell him that I'm going to give you such a wisdom and understanding that no one else had before, no one will have it after. Why? Why Hashem is to say that? Who cares if Chas Shalom, somebody will be in competition, somebody will be a smarter Shlomo. So what is Mr. Shlomo? So nothing happened, and then you have Einstein and you have Bill Gates. Nothing wrong with that. You have a lot of lawyers. So you're upset because there's another lawyer as smart as you. That's the name of the game. And Shlomo wants to be smart. Besides, in the Shlomo generation, you can say, you know, in your time, there's never ever going to be somebody so smart. Why? Why Hashem is to tell him that?
And why? It never was.
Never was and never will. Yeah. It's not important. It's irrelevant. And the question is, why it's so important to tell it to Shlomo HaMelech, and why Hashem is doing such a thing? Why Hashem is doing it? Who cares if there's going to be somebody as smart as him? He wants to be smart. Again, he's saying, he's emphasizing, he wants to judge the people. And Hashem said, okay, I granted you with it. That should be the nice answer. You don't have to continue. So after, right immediately after this dream, this is if you skip to sentence 15, Vayikach Shlomo b'nei Chalon, the dream was over, he's making a party, it says Baruch Hashem, so the Chachamim say that it means that really when he got up from his dream, he started to understand the birds, he understand the barking of the dog, the language of the horses, the donkeys. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu granted him right away. Okay, simple explanation means there are languages, of animals. There are languages. I don't know exactly how far it goes, but Shlomo HaMelech, that's the Midrash says, understood. He understood the languages of all the creatures.
Of course not did.
But not as much as Shlomo. I don't know if Noach understood as much as Shlomo, but Noach understood, but you know, just vaguely, like now you know when the dog barks, you know there's a thief trying to go through your chimney.
Yeah, but Noah.
But not that. He spoke to the crow. I don't know. I have no answer for this. The Adam Rishon also. The Gemara says Adam Rishon spoke.
The animals by the nature. So
the Gemara says Adam Rishon spoke to animals from Gan Eden also. Right. But maybe it means there's a higher level of talking. But again. Same explanation is like this. Shlomo is very smart now. He sees he has two birds talking to each other and he knows what he's talking about. Again, this has nothing to do with what he wanted. He wanted judge, right? He said he wants to judge on Israel. All of a sudden he knows what the dog is talking to his wife. And who cares about? why Hashem gave it to him, and what's so important to know. So you know another language. You know the language of the animal. So what? So what? What? Akadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. It all depends on the software. If you have a software in the computer, I mean, your computer, you know, then the computer talks to you. But it's nothing to do with Hashem. What does Hashem want the truth to tell us? He knows what the doctor talking. Who cares if he knows and why Hashem is doing it? This again, this was not his request. His request was just he wanted to judge. So the Chachamim said, the Gemara, the Min, the Midrash says that it means that he touched Shlomo, he had Chalom, Shlomo got up and to dream. It says now he got his dream, Baruch Hashem, he was granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a special wisdom and understanding that he knows and understands everything, and he is very special. Mm-hmm. Sentence 16, with your permission, Tavu Nash Taim Nashim Zonot Lamelech, what I want to learn from now. The Chachamim say immediately, Immediately after he got up from the dream and he went to Yerushalayim and sacrificed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sounds like it was in Yerushalayim, sounds like immediately two ladies came to him. The way they were being described is not pure ladies. Two not pure ladies came to the king and they're standing in front of him. They're talking to him. The Tomer Aisha Ahad, one of the ladies speaks first. Be Adonai, with your permission, my master, Ani, Vaisha, Asuri, Shvoda, Vaitachad, me, myself, and the other lady, we dwell in one house, Vaileh, Imamah, Vait, we both gave birth. Vai, Vaimash, Tishil, Ledati, I gave birth first, and 3 days later, Vaterez, Gamanisha, that she also gave birth. So we both, by ourselves in the house, sounds a little bit strange, and no husbands, and nobody, even though being described as not pure lady, but it's a little bit strange.
Had they even let her in before the king?
Strange, I'm sorry.
Had they even let her in before the king? She was a...
Yeah, I don't know. She got to say before this. They say that Shlomo and David had the door open. Everyone wanted to come in, they come in. That's what Chachamim said.
How can you talk to the king
that is Biadoni? Biadoni means my master, but my teacher should have said Biadoni Amelech. Biadoni Amelech?
Right.
Biadoni
is
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. She should have said Biadoni Amelech. Chachamim says she doesn't have as much as respect to Shlomo. She should have said Biadoni Amelech, but it's not necessarily 100%. He said, my master, I have a question. Me and the other lady, we dwell in one house, and I give birth, and three days later, Batel sentence 18, Batelet Gamanisha, so the second lady also gave birth. But not me, that ends our eternal babayit. We are by ourselves, there's nobody else. She said it already before. But she said, nobody else, what do you mean nobody else? Zulati Shtari Manachnu babayit. She emphasized it. Only two of us. So somehow I didn't say what it means is, it means nobody else can see anything. But again, what the Torah is going to say, no witness would have seen anyway, anything. Because something did happen in the middle of the night, so really witnesses will not be able to see and detect anything. But she says, she emphasized, she says, we are by ourselves, there is nobody else. Why is she saying that? Who cares if there was somebody else? Other guy was there, didn't sleep. Them to say nobody else was there. Yes, the people were there, they didn't see. If anybody would have seen, would have come to court and would testify. So nobody was there. So you have to say nobody was there. Someone's going to ask you, any witnesses, any proof? You have something to say, to prove yourself? Don't to tell me that nobody was there. It's irrelevant, and it's not necessary to say that. And she continues, she says, Bayamot ben Aisha azot laila. She says, that lady that gave birth after me, her child died. She slept with the little baby in the bed, and she choked it. She choked it. In the middle of the night, the lady got up, but she took my own child that I gave birth 3 days before. I was sleeping. She put the one that is alive, it's my child, and she put it by her. That Bina Ahmed, the dead ones, she put him next to me. Put it next to me. She speaks to me. Akum babokel nigel me. I got up in the morning to nurse my baby. We name it. The baby is dead. They don't know me babokel. At the night I couldn't see. In the early in the morning I couldn't see. It was not light. But in the morning, when I don't have a book, I took a good look at him in the morning. I look at him, he's not my son. That's not my son. So obviously, she made a switch. Because that's not my son. The dead one next to me is not my son. I look at him, he's not my son. Therefore, probably my son is with her, and she's made a switch. Again, it's no proof. It's no proof. She assumes. I don't know if she recognized the other baby. It doesn't say she recognized the other baby. Doesn't know. Doesn't say anything. It says, if you ask him, if the child will ask, it says, excuse me, this is not your son. First of all, how do you know it's not your son? In America, it says DNA. And if no DNA, it says, it is your son. But it's not your son. It is your son. I says, how do you know it's her son? How do you know it's her son? Do you recognize him? You don't recognize him. You can't even recognize him. So you assume. You say that you really think that this baby is hers, and you assume that yours is by her. How do you know? You don't know it. You only can say, you're sure this baby is not mine. This I believe you. I believe you that you know how to recognize your own son, and you say, that's not my son. Okay, I believe you this. But that's all. But you can't say the whole story that you made a switch. How do you know made a switch?
Well, if he believes her that she can tell which is her son, then she can tell.
No. She says she's not her son. No. She only says that this one is not her son. That's what you would say. She knows it. She said she knows it's not her son. But she doesn't know it's the other guy, the other lady's son. How do you know? She don't know. She may say, she's holding my son. She may say, I'm holding my son. She's holding my son, maybe. But you can't tell that through this, she recognized that was her son. How do you know that's her son? Maybe somebody else's son. Besides, when you speak to the judge, you don't expect the judge to really to believe you, to accept what you said. I mean, all the respect. Somebody comes over to you and walks over to you and tells you, this is my son. It's not your son. How do you expect the judge to know? Somebody comes and tells the judge the story. There's no witnesses. Somebody comes to court and says, this is my son. The baby is holding my son. The judge laughs at you. There's no proof and there's no base for that. The judge is going to believe you for such a statement. The other lady speaks now. לא כבנך חי, כבניה חי ובנך מת. No, it's not true, the story is right. Your son is dead, and the one I'm holding, he is the right one, that my son is alive. וזאת אומרת, she answers back to her, לא, כבנך מת ובנך חי, no, it's not true. Your son is the dead one, my one is the right one. But the better, the Amalek, who go back and forth, the Chachamim, they argue back and forth, they say the same thing. That one said, mine is the live one, you are dead, she was the opposite, the same with the world, from Chachamim say she. But again, yeah, but doesn't mean anything. That's the way I talk, it's not a proof. We have two ladies over here, and one is holding a live one, the other one we don't know where he is. Don't know where he is, I don't know, maybe should look at him, I don't know. There's no sign where the dead one is. Nobody is holding him. I don't know if he was buried already, we don't know. You know, there's no information. They're holding the live one. Well, maybe they cannot look at him to figure out who he looks like. Yeah, there's some resemblance, something that you can look. I mean, it's impossible. Say if you give a lady another baby.
No, the eyes.
Yeah, something from the mother, you can't say he looks completely like his father, he's nothing to do with his mother. And you have two babies and you have two ladies, you can recognize it.
Especially after
3 days. Doesn't matter after the first day also. I mean, somebody smart enough can detect something in the baby's face if he looks like his mother. can detect something. Over here, I don't know, either Shlomo doesn't see, or maybe the were cousins, maybe they looked like, I don't know. So the story is a little bit fishy, a fishy story. Two ladies were coming, they said they live by themselves in the house, somebody's in the house, and one gave birth first, another one gave birth later. There's no hospital, nothing, no midwife, nothing, they gave birth in the house, like animals. And then say they're a little bit, you know, there's no hospital, nothing. I mean, those that don't hospital understand, but they had midwives. I mean, by themselves, they fix everything. There's no midwives, there's no nothing. They gave birth in the house, the Opa themselves. There's no proof, there's no witness, there's nothing.
Where the fathers?
Right. So somehow, I mean, say because they're being described first as not pure ladies, which means they don't know who is the father. I don't know. Sounds a little bit strange. The two ladies, pregnant ladies, they don't have a husband, and they live in the same house, and they both gave birth very similar to each other, and the baby it looks like both of them or like neither of them. Too strange.
Maybe one father for both of them.
Maybe. Everything is possible. Maybe. ויאמר המלך, זאת אומרת, זה בני אחי ובני חמר, אמת, זה גמרא, זה מדרש, זה גמרא, זה the judge should repeat the statement, the testimony of the people. So שלמה repeated, ויאמר המלך, שלמה repeated, if you remember, he's 12 years old now. זאת אומרת, זה בני אחי ובני חמר, one of them says, mine is the live one, and yours is the dead one. זאת אומרת, Lord, the second one answers, says, no, you have the dead one, mine is the live one. So, the question is, the Gemara says, from this you learn that in court, really, the judge should repeat what those two people that argue in front of him say. All the time. And says, he said he owes him, he said he doesn't know him, he said this, he said that. Let's repeat it. So I have to repeat it? I don't know. What's the halacha? I mean, the halacha, they say the halacha should be like this. Why the halacha has to be like this? For what it should be like this? For what? What's the reason? The judge heard it, it's written already on a piece of paper in front of him, as everything's clear, says, no, you have to repeat it. So Chachamim says, in order for him to say that, for those people sitting in front of him to hear exactly and to correct, maybe he didn't hear well. Somehow. אמר המלך כולי חרב, the king said, get me a sword. A knife, a sword, ויביאו אחריהם לפני המלך, and brought a sword. אמר המלך, גזרו את הילד החי לשניים. So please, cut him in the middle. Cut him in the middle. So some חכמים says, it's a midrash, it says, ברוך השם, the person has two eyes and two ears. I don't know what it's going to do with the nose and the mouth. But if it is a half, yeah, I don't know. But that's what Chachamim said, to cut the baby to the length. Half. That's Shlomo's wisdom. Utnu et achati le'achat et achati le'achat. They'll give half. Sounds like a joke. I don't know what does it mean exactly. What does it mean exactly? He really means it. I mean, if I would be the king, I wouldn't say to cut him. I would say, you know, yes, they have to split it in a way that one day he should be here, one day he should be there. But what do you mean cut him? What does it mean to cut him? What kind of wisdom is this to cut the baby in half? Cut the baby in half. What is cut the baby in half? Everybody knows it's a joke. Chachamim say, all the people are standing by. They said, oh, the idiot is here. They all spoke to each other. They described Shlomo as an idiot. He says, now, oilach, ve'eret shemalkech now. It's a pasuk in Kohelet. It says, that pasuk was said by all the chachamim, all the smart people standing by, they hear this nonsense. That he said, get me a sword, cut it. He says, this is a little baby. A baby says, like this, half. You know, if you have an argument about $100, he says, cut it into half. Most everybody knows it's not $50. If you cut it in half, you lost $100. So he's the Chachamim. Chachamim said, all the people said. So Chachamim said that if I would have been there, I would have choked him to death. If I would run to him with a piece with a rope, and I would choke him. So what kind of nonsense is this? But the lady that really is the real mother of the live one. She speaks to the king. She has too much mercy on her son. Please, my master, give her to her. The master tell me to you, please don't kill him. Don't kill him. So if you show my lesson, you hear one lady talk like this, so it's not a proof. So far, it's not a proof. Because the lady, doesn't matter what she had in mind and what did she do. I mean, you have a heart. I mean, you're a Jew. You have to have a heart. You cannot stand still when the king says, go kill him, strip him. Any lady would have said it. But the problem was the second one. The second one said, you know, not for you, not for me, split it. The question is, she told him, one lady told the king, give it to her. So the other lady said, okay, thank you very much. Here it is, you see? I got it what I wanted. Nothing is wrong. I mean, she had him first. She was holding him. She made a speech. She was holding him. Now, in the front of the king. Now, Shlomo HaMelech takes the little baby and says, let me cut him. So my lady said, don't cut him. Give it to her. Who is her? That's the one who's holding it. That's the one that claimed that's her son. So she, all of a sudden she says, no, cut him. What to cut him? She already gave it to you. If she gave it to you, the thing is over. She said to the king, don't cut him. Give him to her. So if I would be the other lady, thank you very much. That's better in the beginning. This is mine. Thank you. Shlomo could not have detected anything. Because again, the first one also, even if she would be the wrong one, she would not. If a lady has a heart and she's a Jew, she's a Jewish lady, she would not let it to happen. Doesn't matter if it's mine or it's yours. No one would have let to cut a baby into half. No one. Arabs do it. But the Jew would never do it. So now, the second he says, kill him. What do you mean kill him? Why to kill him? Why are you saying it?
ויען המלך ויאמר תנו לה את הילוד החי באמת אתם זוהים או תודה אז the king said okay you see now we know who it is he is the one she is the real mother give her the baby the one that said do not cut him she is the one how do you know
because why did the second one
right but the second one said to kill him right. So, for simple explanation, what happened?
The person would say, don't kill him.
Right, well, that's what I said.
Because she would realize that that's what he had in mind.
Unless she was so jealous. What's the jealousy has to do already? She said,
give it.
She had it first. Now, the other lady said, give it to her. So, no jealousy. So, she takes it. That's what she wanted in the beginning. She wanted that baby. She was holding this baby, she said, it's my baby. She said, she claimed, your baby dead, mine is life, this is mine. So the other lady said, okay, give it to her. But then she said, no, cut it, for what to cut it?
The lady is the only boy. No?
Right. That's
your
boy. What do you mean? This ain't my husband. Yeah, that's your boy. Yeah, there's no other answer, but that's to know who is the mother, who really the mothers are. What's the story? Who is really the mother? Right. Again, the idea itself that Shlomo does it, how do you know what to do? How did you figure out what's going to happen? It was a possibility, according to Shlomo's act, that they would both say, okay, do it. Or both would say, don't do it. How did Shlomo know that one would have said something different than the other?
Because one was the real mother and the other
one. Yeah, someone that's not real mother will cut the baby into her hand. She wants the baby. She was holding the baby. She claimed, that's my baby. So now she's going to say, yes, cut him. Why is he going to say cut him? I don't know. That's the question. What is Shlomo? The question is, how did Shlomo figure out something? What's the idea over here? What's the idea here that Shlomo thinks that from this he'll have a proof who is the mother?
The Gemara says Masechet Makot. Just one piece of information before we continue. In the last two words of sentence 27, Imo, it's not what Shlomo said. This is the Gemara says, Bat Kol Me'ashamay. The Gemara says, all of a sudden everybody heard in court, somebody is talking. They look around, nobody was talking. It said, Hashem answers from Shammai. That's the mother. Says the Gemara, the Takadosh Baruch Hu appeared few times. This is one of the few times Hashem appeared in court to tell Chachamim that the court decision is the right decision. This is one of the times that now, when Shlomo said, give her the baby, they heard from Shamayim a voice talking, like we call in America, a voicemail. They have a voice from Shamayim, and says, that's the mother. I said, why Hashem had to say this? For what? Maybe it's simple explanation is Hashem wanted to prove that Shlomo is right. But, again, the Gemara says, you may not ever make a decision if you have a voice from Shammai. No, but Shammai, the Gemara tells a story about Chachamim arguing about certain things, kasher, lo kasher, tahor, lo tahor, tameh, tahor, one of Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, he said that, you know, I can have a proof for you that I'm right. He says, listen. And everybody listen, and from Shammai they say, he's right. He's right, Rabbi Eliezer's right. Chachamim said, don't bring us this proof. Lo ba shamayni. The Torah is here. You can say, Hashem sent a messenger. There's a voicemail from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You hear a voicemail on the telephone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you something, don't believe in it. The Gemara said, lo ba shamayni. It's halacha. And he brought other proofs. He said, Kotevet HaMidrash Yochichu. The Gemara said, he said, okay, you don't believe in this? I'll show you something. I'll show you something. The walls of the Knesset will start shaking. They started to shake. Chachamim said, don't care about you. Lo ba shamayimi, we not be able to convince us. We think that's the halacha, that's the halacha. You want to tell us this, said, okay, one more proof. He said, there is a brook over here. There's water running next to the shul. I can make it stop right now. The water stopped. Chachamim said, we don't care. Lo ba shamayimi, he says, don't play tricks. It can be the holiest of the holiest. The halacha is preaching this way, that's the halacha. He said, you can bring a proof, what we call outside proof. If you, Shlomo, want to prove that this lady is the real mother, you have to prove it to us. Not by this, you know, you bring it to a judge, and there's no witnesses, and the judge, according to the Jewish law again, cannot make a decision. Because he makes a trick, he tells the people, give me a sword and give me a knife and let me cut the baby into half. And one lady says, don't do it. And I say, do it. He says, ah, that's a proof. No. So in Jewish law, you need two witnesses. You need a proof, not common sense. Common sense doesn't mean anything. And proof from Shamayim, what you call a voicemail from Shamayim, or any other tricks that you can play, that you can prove that this is the lady, this means nothing. You have to have two witnesses that will come to testify in court, and they will say, we know, we saw this baby, we saw this lady, the baby has a birthmark, the baby has this kind of a hair. They have to say that they know the baby 100%, then you give the baby to the mother. Otherwise, the baby is going to go to an orphan house, they're going to stay in court, they're going to grow up in court, and they're going to get bigger and just make a decision of who is his mother. But you cannot judge this. I'm sorry?
Shlomo?
No, of course, there's no witnesses. That's what I said before. There's no witnesses. But again, the way they said it about themselves, also, again, we said it's not important about themselves. The main thing is there's no witnesses. So said, there's a judge, you ask them, do you have witnesses? He says, we have no witnesses. If you have no witnesses, there's no more proof. Even DNA is not proof. DNA can always only bring the people to the table that one should admit. But let's say you have any act that happened that you may find out the truth by DNA according to the Torah is no good. It's no good.
You need two witnesses.
If you tell this is the baby, and you want to know who is the real mother, I say, let's make DNA. And the DNA will prove this is the mother. It's not a proof according to Torah. Hashem says, We have two witnesses to say that we saw with the eyes, recognize it. Hashem believes only two witnesses. And if no other way, you can't prove anything in court. If you hear something, or you see an object in the mirror, let's say you're holding a mirror, and you look in the back of you, a murder case. Nothing. You must have two witnesses, see with eyes. If they heard voices, or they have any other proof, means nothing. They have to see with two eyes. That's the halacha, in Yohanan. That's what Hashem says, Api Shnai Medim Yakum Davar, you say this man owed this man $100,000. It says, how do you know? We saw he gave him a loan, $100,000. It says we heard, we figure out something, means nothing. You have to see with your eyes, this is according. Again, a king may be different from Chachamim saying, the Gemara says David HaMelech did not judge all the time with witnesses, maybe Shlomo also. That's the first time Shlomo HaMelech is going to judge without witnesses. But again, it is very strange. It's the first court case that Shlomo is involved. Again, he's 12. And you can understand 12 is also possible to be a You must be 13 at least to be a judge. Under 13, you may not be a witness, you cannot be a judge. Sounds like he's 12 here. Maybe he just became 13, maybe. But he had a dream, then he was dreaming and he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him wisdom, he was 12. As well cannot be a judge. But again, the first case, and that's the only case that we have in the Tanakh about the court case, this is a strange case, and again, it's not suitable to judge and to make a decision with it. It's against our halacha. You cannot make a decision unless you have two witnesses. One witness is not enough either. You need two kosher witnesses that are 100% right.
Even when you have a note and what
doesn't work? No,
nothing has to be witnessed by two people.
Right.
What about
only an alone, yeah? Alone. But not a testimony. I mean, you cannot send Bedin a letter signed by two witnesses, kosher witnesses, they saw a murder case someplace. They cannot speak on the phone, there can be video, all these are not acceptable by court. You must have faith. Live people standing in front of you. And here there's no proof. Again, Shlomo HaMelech, as a king, he has some power to make decisions. He has power. He can maneuver things, he can kill without witnesses. Maybe, again, according to Chachamim, according to Midrash, he may judge without witnesses. Again, this case that the Navi tells us is a little bit strange. So sentence 28, with your permission, וישמעו כל ישראל את המשפט אשר שפט המלך ויראו מפני המלך. שים את פניש נגדיס. עם ישראל heard that story what happened with those two ladies with this little baby that they didn't know who is really the real mother, and they heard Shlomo's trick with the sword, and since Shlomo played this trick on those ladies and he found out who is the real lady, Am Yisrael heard it, ויראו מפני המלך. They got very afraid of him. Simple explanation for Hamim say, they're afraid of him because it means now they're going to be very afraid to do any move because he's too smart. He'll figure out right away what's wrong. Again, he is not the court system, but again, since Hamim said that he is going to be the judge as well, that's what his father used to do, the Gemara said that Elimelech used to sit and judge. Now we have to be very scared. The man knows his business, and the 12 years old, he already knows how to find the truth. So everybody is afraid of him. Get an explanation. He says, why didn't he have to write it? I mean, just information maybe. But he writes information to tell you that everybody is afraid of Shlomo because he's so smart, and now it's going to be no more monkey business. He can't cheat the insurance people. He can't do any tricks on the government. Then he's going to look at your eyes. He's going to know exactly what it is. He's going to have a trick in his sleeve. That's his explanation. כי ראו, let's not be this, כי ראו, כי חוכמת אלוקים מקרבו לעשות משפט. It means he is very smart to make the trials. Again, maybe, really, it has to do with this particular case, that maybe he had an edge on it, maybe, you know, I don't know. But some people come to Shlomo HaMelech, and they say, he owes me 100,000, and I said, I take. So Shlomo is going to figure out. What is he going to do? Cut it in half, what is he going to do?
Or, yeah, I don't know, he was smart enough, he should say cut the baby. But you can't apply this in every court case. Did you have a gun on you? He didn't have a gun on you. He tried to jump from the tree. He didn't jump from the tree. Did you do anything? He'll figure out. He won't figure out. He can't figure out. Every Jew is smarter than the judge. There's no such thing as smarter. Maybe your lawyer is smarter than you. But he's definitely smarter than the other lawyer. So Shlomo Melech had, for example, we hear he had in his, I don't know what he had in his head that he was able to do it. But again, you don't, since the nation is afraid of Shlomo. Shlomo. He's not really Shlomo. Don't speak Shlomo. It's fixed from. We don't find really anybody fixed from. Except. No. I don't think he was sleeping. He was sleeping. So. But I mean, just to trick him on a big thing. The two entities tricked him. One is Ashmedai. Head of the Shedim and the Satan. Satan. The Satan, the Gemara tells us a story. And they say, with your permission, if you just go another two sentences in the next chapter. Ve'emelech Shlomo melech al kol Israel. The sentence means a continuation of the Sukkim before that everybody adopted him as the king. Because he was so smart. Now we're going to have a list of all the people in his government. So sentence 3 says, Elichoref v'achia b'nei shisha sofrim. Same explanation means, if you want to know who were the ones that used to be the writers for Shlomo. The writers, what it means, Chachamim say it means, they're going to write a history book. They're going to write everything what's going on in order for us to have it. So there are two names, the two brothers, one is named Elichoref, the other one is named Achia. The father was Shisha, and they saw the job, they used to sit down and write the stories. So the Gemara says, Shlomo Melech once walked on the street, and walks on the street, he sees Malach HaMavet. He sees Malach HaMavet very upset. Very upset. He asked Malach HaMavet, why are you upset? Mm-hmm. What happened to you? Can you imagine? He talks to him like he's his friend.
So
the Malach HaMavet says, I have a job to do, Hashem sent me to do a job, and I can't make the job. So I asked him, what kind of job you have? He says, there are two people, the two writers that you have. They're very, very holy people. I cannot kill them. Shlomo Melech goes back home right away. He called those two people. And he tells them, stay everyone here for 1 minute. He calls up one of the Shedim. He says, Gan Shedim, this is before Israel, you know, before Elal. He says, go pick them up. He tells one of the Shedim, go pick them up, deliver them to a city called Luz. Luz in the city was a city that nobody died in that city. He says, deliver them over there because Malach HaMavet wants to kill them, and soon he's going to kill them because they're too holy for him. So hopefully they'll do a scene and he'll kill them. Just to avoid this accident, tell them right away, ship them right away to Luz. Luz was a city, nobody died in Luz. Okay? So the Shed takes them to Luz, and Shlomo Melech is very happy. In the morning, he walks through the street, he sees the Satan again, now he's happy. God says, no, what happened today? I am so happy. He says, thank you very much, you helped me very much. He says, you helped me to do my job. He says, I had a very hard time to get those two people to Luz, because Hashem told me, go kill them at the entrance to Luz, not inside the city. Those two people sat down next to you all the time, writing all the history, what's going to be in, for generation later to read, and I cannot get them. The place of death for those two tzaddikim, holy people, has to be the corner next to the gate of Luz. And I can't get them there. I would catch them there before they're going to enter the city. That is, the shade is going to carry them. He's going to deliver them right there because Luz is a little bit further. But Malach HaMavet was waiting over there at the entrance to Luz. The minute they landed in front of the city, they died on the spot. So Shlomo says, is this Shlomo Melech? Baruch Hashem, thank you very much for helping me, because I didn't know how to get them. You helped me very much. So it means
two entities tricked Shlomo. No one else was able to trick Shlomo. I mean, there's no information. Again, there's no information that somebody was able to trick him. There are some stories that, again, he failed in certain things, and he, I wouldn't say the word tricked, but he was not able to change certain things. For example, the Midrash says that Shlomo Melech had one daughter. I thought I said it before.
No.
He had one daughter. You know him from it?
I said.
Yeah, I think I said. He had one daughter. He had one daughter, one son. That's information that we have. The son is Rechavam.
Basmat,
maybe.
Yeah.
And he looked in the stars and he saw that her groom, the Chatan, is going to be a very poor person. And very, very slow, if we say. And he said, I'm going to fix this up. He went and he put it on an island. And he built a tower on the island. And he put it on the top. There's no ladder, no nothing. He cannot climb. No way he can climb it. He said, she'll stay there. And he knows the time they're supposed to get married. And he's going to prevent this marriage. And days later, or months later, he went over there and he broke letters and they climbed up and they saw a man over there. And he asked him, how did you get here? He said he was lying down in the forest on a dead body of a lion. He went to sleep. And an eagle came and picked up the part of the skin of the lion that he was inside and dropped him on the top of the tower. And when he woke up, he saw the bride and he got married. That's the middle of this. So again, I wouldn't say the thing is he was tricked, but again, he could not fulfill what he wanted. But here, the Gemara says two tricks. That Hashmedai was a big trick. Hashmedai became the king, and he threw Shlomo out of the palace. There's no information how many years Shlomo used to walk on the street, and he used to say, my name is Shlomo, I used to be the king, and everybody says, you're crazy, you're supposed to be in the sanatorium, the king is in the palace, it is you dreaming, every second guy thinks he's the king. Right, that's a story, remember? I said it. Again, it sounds like that Shlomo is the smartest one, but still, he cannot be smarter than those two entities. Again, it's a nice story, but the question is what's really behind the story. So here, the Ari says it in one version, and the Rabbi Ben says it in another version. The Ari says those two ladies that we're talking about, Sever Shishnem. Ari doesn't say them. The Ari say they are Orpah and Rut. The two sisters, the same neshamot, same ruchot, the two sisters of Melech Eglon that got married to Machlon Bechilion, even though the Rut might be alive in a way, it's a question when did Rut die, because she was up here, in the chapter before, she Emma Melech, Chachamim say she's still alive, but maybe her part of her soul. This lady. The amazing thing, the Midrash says, that's really, says the Midrash Amarav, it's not really ladies. When Shlomo looked at them, just spirits. They had body, but it's not real body. When Shlomo looked at them, he saw it's a trick. The whole thing over here is a trick. The trick is that Shlomo can control them. That's the trick. It's not related. Of course they come and maybe they have a passport, maybe they have a car, a bike, and maybe they have a shopping bag, but really the whole thing over here is a trick. And Dari says, and not the Dari, everybody says, you can go on the street and you see people walking and he has an attaché and he has a car, the whole thing is fake. The whole thing, the story is just for your eyes, the man is not a man, the car is not a car, if he has a car, maybe it's not a real car, maybe it's a toy. He can build himself something, the Gemara said the Shedim do it, the Gemara said the Shedim build themselves cars, the Gemara doesn't say cars, the Gemara said they build themselves carriages, horses, chariots, the whole thing is a fake one. It says the Midrash, you should know that story, the ladies, really, when you look at them, you think it's people, but if you look thoroughly, closely to them, they're not ladies. It's just spirit, just like swords that came in front of Shlomo. Came in front of Shlomo. One is Shlomo's grandmother Ruth, and one is Shlomo's grandmother's sister. Her name is Orpa. He doesn't explain too much more, but the Gaon Mevilna explain more. The Gaon Mevilna goes to Sefer Bereshit, and he has the proof from a book that Yaakov Avinu wrote. It's called Safra Desniuta. This is in his commentary on this book. That he writes, those two ladies really are two, if we may say, bad entities. Bad entities that really are responsible for a lot of bad things that are going around. And those are, if we may say, the two ladies in Parashat Bereshit. The Torah tells us that people looked around and they saw Bnot Adam. They saw the daughters of a man. An angel from Shamayim came and they wanted to marry them.
Right.
So the Gaon Mevilna said, Bnot Adam means two. Those are the two ones. Two bad entities. Two bad entities, really, it's a question, but you should know the story. The story is the names of those two entities. One, her name is Naama, and one, her name is Machla. Those two names are not the perfect names to give a girl. Not Naama, not Machla. Very bad names. Shtosh and Noach was Naama, and Shlomo's wife was Naama. Rechavam was born from a girl, her name was Naama. She was from Ammon, Naama Ammonit. Those two girls are really entities. Spirits that really are bad entities, that they are responsible for mistake for all the bad ladies. It is when you see a bad lady, it says that bad lady has to do with those things. So again, the Gaon Mevilna continues, he doesn't say that, but the Gaon Mevilna continues and he said, those bad ladies, it says, the first time, well, I wouldn't say the first time, but in the Tanakh, the first time a description of not pure lady was Rahab. It says that Caleb and Pinchas went to spy in Jericho, and they came to a house. It says they came to a house that being this, the lady over there being described as those two ladies, not pure lady. But Rahab eventually got married to Yoshua bin Nun, and from that marriage came Yechezkel HaNavi, Yirmiyahu, a lot of Huldah, a lot of Nevi'im came from that marriage. Yoshua did not have boys, had girls, but the girls that he had came from Rahab. That Rahab being described the not pure lady in the Tanakh, the first time in the Tanakh, not pure lady. It says in the Torah, it says about Tamar, the same description, maybe we'll get to it later. But Rahab, all of a sudden, you have a chapter 2 in Sefer Yoshua, the description of two spies, Caleb and Yefuneh Pinchas, they were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to spy. They came to the house of that not pure lady, they stay over there, and the lady tells them, listen, do me a favor, help me out, I know that you're going to come and you're going to capture, and I'm trying very hard, and I know your God is the God. Promise me that you're going to keep me alive and you're not going to kill my family. And they promise them, and the kill of Chachamim said, who gave you permission to promise her? She's one of that nation that Hashem said to destroy, and you come and you promise her something. And who needs to know the story in the Tanakh anyway? As the Tanakh is not a history book, you don't know a story that Caleb and Pinchas, they came to Jericho and they stayed by an not pure lady, and that lady is going to hide them. And the Navi says she hid them because the messengers from the king came to look for them,
and she hit them, and then she gives them an advice, she tells them run over here, and the whole description, who needs to know in the Tanakh, you don't know it. Because the Tanakh is a holy book, so don't say, Yeshua is coming, he's going to capture Jericho, he's going to come, you don't need to have this story. And it's not really necessary. The most strange thing is that Yeshua has no other shidduch. He's talking about a man that is already about 100 years old, Yeshua, almost 100 years old, he's 96, he died at 110, I believe.
She was 52.
She was 52? Yeah? I don't remember, maybe? Maybe.
What years old did they get out of Egypt? 4 years from there?
He got out of Egypt?
No, when they got out of Egypt, she was only 12.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. Maybe I don't remember. So Yeshua is no other shidduch. No other shidduch. Just a girl being described. Very last few lady. That's the lady he has to marry. Not only that, from that time he has to marry Nabi Yonavi. He says the Gemara says, 8 Nabi'im, 8 prophets came from that kind of marriage. He says, Yeshua has nothing else to do. The Lagom Vilna says that Zahir says the same thing in that part. That Zahir says that what we call not pure lady Rachav really was as bad as the other not pure, not good lady. And those are the two ladies being described in Sefer Bereshit. And this is really the two ladies was called Orpah and Ruth. But the difference is that Rachav was fixed by Yehoshua Binun. It means that Rahab became very good one. It means the job on this world is to take the bad part and to make them into good part. And Rahab originally was very bad part. She's one of the two ladies being described in Sefer Bereshit, these very bad ladies, against very bad entities. One is called Naama, one is called Mahla. It says two bad entities. And she got fixed, she got better because of Yeshua Binom. And therefore Yeshua is going to marry her. And that's the same, when we say, spirit, say Neshama, is going to be Barut, and the bad one stays the bad one, and she is bad one, and she is Opa. And when Shlomo just becomes the king, Shlomo becomes the king, he tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to have a good wisdom, a very smart heart to judge. Simple explanation means he wants to be a good judge. He wants to be a good judge because he wants to be a good judge because he's the king. I don't know if you know or not, but in Bonaparte is a machloket, a very big machloket, Bobov. This is today, I think, is one of the biggest Hasidic Bobov, 48th Street. It's like a kingdom.
The one thing is in Bobov,
very, very big. The Rebbe, the old Rebbe, the grandfather. The heritage, big ones in Europe.
Poland.
Smart people, nice people. But they had Baruch Hashem Machloket. The son of the Rebbe that just died, he wants to be the Rebbe, and his uncle. And his uncle, no?
Son-in-law.
The son-in-law
of
Reb Naftali.
Right.
He wants to be the Rebbe?
Rabbi Yunger.
Or?
Ben Tion. The stepbrother of the one that died.
The stepbrother of?
The one that died.
The stepbrother of the one that died. Okay, I'm not so familiar. I have a big machloket. So the both decided they're going to go to court. Because, you know, they don't want to go to Bedin. They want to go to court. No, they want to go to court. Now listen to the story, you have a kick out of it. They decided both the best thing is to go in front of the judge, Supreme Court downtown Manhattan, let him decide who should be the rabbi. Because, you know, Bedin there, you know, this rabbi said like this, this rabbi said like this, you know, we go to a judge. And the judge in the court, they have lawyers, he will prove that he is the right one. So, okay. They go in front of the judge. Last week, I think it's in the paper. The judge says like this. Years ago, he's a Jew, the judge is a Jew. I said like this. Years ago, I went to, the grandfather was the Baba of the Rebbe, the first Baba of the Rebbe in America. I went in front of him. And I said to him, I want a blessing from you. And I said, I want to become a judge. And he gave me the blessing. But he told me like this. Any time you can have two Jews coming in front of you, send them to Bedin.
Wow.
So now I'll be back to Bedin. When they did not want to go to Bedin, the judge forced them to go to Bedin. But you can force them, but here the Jews told them that this is the grandfather, right? Yeah, you know that the lawyers here, I'm sorry. No, you can't force them, no.
That's what he said,
but he said that your grandfather was the one that gave me a blessing to be a judge on that condition. So that's what is in the newspaper. But again, Shlomo, the question is why Shlomo wants to be a judge, really? I said, that man, I know what he wants to be a judge. He wants to send it back to Betty. Well, he says, no, a judge, the power of the judge is to get the bad out from the system. It's not just to say who is right, who is wrong. Of course, that's the judge's fame. It should be an order, because otherwise we need no court, no lawyers, no police. It's going to be a zoo. But if you ask really what's behind judges, is Latzir Ashuk Miyad Oshkehu, it says the power of the court is not just to make a decision who is right or wrong, is to make sure was no bad thing happened. It means the entity of bad things should not be exist. It is not just that to say, you know, two people fighting, it is okay, you're right, you're wrong. It says you have to correct the wrong one. If you see a thief, it says you should try to make him a good person. It says the judge is not just to say that he is right and you're wrong. That you, as a wrong person, should become a better one. This idea, really, that the people appear in court, that you have one right, one wrong, you have a thief, you have a guy that's a murderer, it is all those bad acts that people do comes, of course, from bad entities. I said you have what's called male bad entities and female bad entities. For the female bad entities, used to be two powers, what's called Nama and Machla. Again, one of them was fixed, partially, let me say, by Chachav. And now, those two, that's what the Arif said, that's what really the Gemara says. So those two ladies that come over here and they say, we live out by ourselves in the house, was no man, was nobody else. This is what kind of nonsense is this? There's nobody else, nobody is there. Where is your husband? Who is your husband? You start investigating, in 5 minutes you find the whole thing is a lie. He says, what do you mean you just give birth together, you mean this is 3 days different? What does this mean? So he says, it means spirit. Spirit of bad entities. One is supposed to be good, the other one, she lives together still with the other one, but the bad one is bothering her. And then they have a kind of an argument, they come from the Shlomo, and Shlomo, that's what the Navi says, that he already understands the languages of the animals. Remember, the Navi says animals really are not animals. Animals used to be people. They are soul spirits of people that turn to be animals. It's not that Shlomo has to understand what the dog speaks to his wife or what the bird is speaking to her cousin. It's really irrelevant. What it means, he knows what the dog is saying, what is do wrong. Like this, says Ari, he'll know how to fix him. And the story is about Big Tzadikim, the man to fix the fixed animals. Because the animal really is an entity that is suffering because something bad that it is. It means there's a bad entity inside that animal. And what it means is that Shlomo got up from the dream, says Dari, he understands now the languages of the animals. It means he understands the languages of the bad entities. And when two ladies will come, it says, as immediately come two entities in front of him. So the Midrash, it's two spirits, it's not ladies. But you can, let's see if you can see what is bad, what is good. So this is, if he's going to be right at the end, that's going to cause only to be afraid of him. This is what he's going to say, that they are afraid of him, because he knows how to judge. He says, what do you mean, in every case you not judge, say he, because he knows how to detect bad, and he knows what's good and what's bad. He says, he is going to know the bad one. He says, no, he's not going to know the bad one. The bad one will never agree for something good to happen. And the minute that he says, get me a knife and let me cut, and says, at that moment, he knew that the bad part, he doesn't know which one over here is which one is good, which one is bad, because they're identical. He says, this is why the baby is identical, because they're identical. And it's just one is a little bit better than the other. And says, he's going to say, give me the knife, let me cut the baby. He says, the bad one will never say good things, always say negative things. Negative. She does the negative, she takes the baby. And now when Shlomo Meir said something and the other lady said the good thing, she will say bad thing. Because negative is always negative. And this is really what Hashem appeared from Shammai. It says, when you want to prove something that has to do with negativity, that has to do to separate bad from good, Hashem is a witness. So Hashem came from Shammai and said, Shlomo is right. He knows how to separate bad from good. That's a job of a judge. It's not just to say who is right, who is wrong. The job is to convince the bad one to stay away, to try to convince the bad one not to do a bad thing. That's why he doesn't say anything over here. He doesn't say that what did he do to that lady? That's a kidnapping. This is like Rabbi Amar's wife. I said, he kidnapped a baby. She says, Shlomo should have punished the lady. There's no information about it. There's no information where the other baby is, because it might have been there's no other baby. They don't know what it is. Because all spirit is only to show that Shlomo's power to judge is not just to be a judge. And therefore Shlomo does not need witnesses. Because the power of Shlomo is to separate bad from good. The power of Shlomo that he wants to turn the bad into good. It says that power that if you want to accomplish it, this is not what Hashem just said to the judges. It says that's what Shlomo asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem was so happy with Shlomo's answer. It's not because he wants to be a judge. He wants to make sure that the bad ones will turn into good. It means they should not have any bad things inside them. And therefore this is the job. His job is to give the baby to the right entity. It means that's my job is. Not my job is to punish the crazy that kidnapped. My job is to make sure that the right person gets the right thing. It means to save that person from doing a bad thing, or to save something good, that something bad might happen to him. Really, that's what the Gemara says. That Rav said, when you read the story, don't read the story. It's to ladies, it's not to ladies, it's to spirit, and only to show you that Shlomo is smarter than the spirit. This is very, very good, says Ari in the beginning, the Shlomo right now. But later on, Shlomo is not going to behave. And that's the two stories that we mentioned before, that he is not able to control. Not the Satan and not the Shmedai, they overcome him. This is those two stories only to show that he cannot detect the bad part, and he doesn't know how to save the good part. This is because his power, that what he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not just to judge. He wanted to separate bad from good and to try to turn the bad into good. This is very good. So when Am Yisrael heard it, they got scared of him and said everybody is afraid of him. The kingdom belongs to him. It's because that's really the job of the king. It's not to judge, it's to separate bad from good and try to turn the bad into good. That's the first chapter that tells you that immediately the next chapter tells you about those two people, that eventually Shlomo is going to lose them as right first because of misbehavior. But in the beginning, Hashem was very happy with him that he understood the task and the goal on this world is to change the bad into good.
What's the baby?
The dead one is Goliath, the live one is dead.
What?
Right. Well, yeah. All patterns.